Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to a study in the Word. And this is, currently in our series on an in-depth study on love. This is message number 34. And the title today is Building Strength to Walk in Love, Part 2. So let's get started. Father, we thank you for the privilege and honor that we have of gathering as family today. We thank you that your Holy Spirit is present with each of us, in us, and working through us, Lord. We thank you for revelation of your word. We thank you, Lord, that even the word that we receive that we don't understand today, that your Spirit will continually bring forth revelation. We thank you, Father, for the honor of being able to come before your throne. You've opened the doors of your heart and asked your people to come. And we come this morning, Lord. We expect to hear from you, so we open our hearts to receive in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So again, we're continuing with our study. Today's title is Building Strength to Walk in Love, Part 2. Part 1 was week before last. Last week was Easter, and the Lord gave us something a little special on titled Behold What Manner of Love. So we did that and made it part of this since it was so important. So today we're going to take up where we left off a couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I think. And before I get started, I apologize to all of you that are listening for the fact that we did not have no sound the last couple of weeks, and that was my fault. I forgot to push the button, and they work a lot better when you push the button. Anyways, if you would still like to go back and listen to those, the audio-only version is available on our webpage at www.rallaharvest.org. Just click on the sermon tab at the top of the page and you'll be able to go down and find them. They're both there, but audio only. You can download them or listen to them online. Today we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Hallelujah. I'd like to go through the whole thing here, but we don't have time. I just pulled out verse 10 because it applies to what we're talking about on building strength to walk in love. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Amplified Classic. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might supplies. Did you see what he said there? Did you notice what he said? Be strong in the Lord. We can't be strong any other place. You know, we can build our muscles. We can have all kinds of do all kinds of things to our body, be the healthiest specimen on planet Earth, but be a weak wimp in the spirit.
Amen.
And there's two different things happening in our life. We must take care of our body, yes, but it's not priority. Taking care of our spirit man is priority.
Yes.
When you take care of your spirit man, it flows over into our body. The Word even says it brings life and health to all of our flesh.
Amen.
And in Romans 8:11, it says that if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then that selfsame Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies, or
yes,
bring life to your mortal bodies.
Amen.
The Amplified says will bring life to your short-lived mortal body. So when we walk in the Word, when we allow love to flow in and through us, it actually affects every area of our body. We don't realize that. So we'll concentrate on our body and concentrate on our spirit last, if at all. And we're supposed to do the opposite. Concentrate on our spirit man, which even gives us the wisdom to take care of,
yes,
our natural body. But if we do it the other way around, we're short-circuiting the spirit. So we can only really, truly be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Not in ourselves. And that's what Paul's bringing out here. He talks about that before he even talks about the armor. Be strong in the Lord. You're not wearing this armor in your own strength. You're wearing it in His strength.
Yes.
So it's be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. So the power to walk, to be strong in the Lord, comes from our union with Him.
Amen.
It is that union with Him that causes us to be strong, that strengthens our inner man, which we talked about last time. And we mentioned that our inner man is where our strength flows from. Our inner man. Why? Because if you're born again, then the Holy Spirit lives in you. So you're at that union between your spirit and God. The Holy Spirit is bringing strength to your natural body, to your mind, to your heart. And we draw on that strength. So it says to be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. And I like that analogy. I believe the last time I talked about a well where you throw the bucket in and you draw the water out. Well, when we draw our strength from Him, that's what we're doing. The natural man is actually connecting to our spirit man, to the Holy Spirit, and drawing strength through the Holy Spirit into our natural body. There is a power supply that flows. If I can build my muscles and everything and be naturally strong and look healthy, but if I'm not plugged into the Spirit, then I'm really not very healthy.
That's right.
I'm going to be walking in my carnal nature. Fear, worry, anger, depression, all these things will function because I'm not connected to the Spirit. It's the same as connecting to an outlet. If you have a car, too, the same principle. You know, that phone that I have, cell phone, or my car, electric or gas, it has a certain amount of fuel supply. My body has a fuel supply. It can function for a while. But as time goes by, my spirit man is going to lose power. It's going to lose strength. The same way with my car. Eventually, if you don't ever plug into that gas pump or into that electricity, what's going to happen? You're going to wind up without power, aren't you? You're going to wind up weak. You're going to wind up eventually sitting on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get mad at the manufacturer because the car don't work. Well, it doesn't work because there's no fuel. There's no fuel, electric, if it's all electric or a hybrid, both. You got to have fuel in the tank in order for it to continue to function. And that's the same way with our spirit man. Born again or not, if especially born again, if our spirit man is not being quickened, is not being strengthened, then eventually our natural man is going to run out of fuel.
Amen.
We're going to get weaker and weaker and weaker for that simple reason, because we're not connected. There's no fuel supply. The onboard fuel supply ran out. So that's the same way with the spirit as it is with our vehicle or our outlet. Battery-powered items, they run out of power eventually. And you're going to have to do something, or you're going to be sitting alongside the road.
Yep.
And I don't want to be sitting alongside the road spiritually. Because that's why Paul put in the Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you're not plugged into the Spirit, if you're not doing anything to strengthen your spirit man, death is functioning.
Yeah.
So your battery's running out. You're getting weaker and weaker, no matter how strong you are. You're actually getting weaker and weaker because your spirit man has no fuel supply. The battery's running out. But if you stay plugged in, then you're strengthened. You know, we probably have laptops, or at least know what they are. But even if it's a laptop, you can walk around quite a while without it being plugged in, and it'll function fine. But eventually, it'll say going to some kind of power mode, low power mode, I think it is. And eventually, it'll stop because it ran out of battery. But if we leave the thing plugged in, and they don't advise you to do that, but if you leave it plugged in all the time, it's got a constant fuel supply. And it's the same way with our spirit man. If we stay in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in love, that's the only way you can walk in the Spirit is walk in love. If you're walking in love, walking in the Spirit, then you have a constant flow.
Amen.
In you, through you, back in you, through you, back in you, through you. You're walking through your life with the wisdom of God, the anointing of God. He's leading you to make right decisions, and He's quickening you when you make wrong decisions. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him, that strength which His boundless might supplies. That's the next part of it. Notice it's supplied.
Amen.
Okay, and it comes from where? His boundless might. I'll mention that again in a few minutes just to be sure we get that. We cannot walk the love walk in our own strength.
No.
And I need to know that. I can get along a ways, but I'm going to run out of steam. Eventually, I'm going to fail. And it's not carnal. It's not really the love walk. It's a form of love, but you're not in communion with the Father. Mm-hmm. And if you're not in communion with the Father, there's no strength to continue. We must be strong in the Lord. We draw our strength from Him. Our strength flows from our union and communion with Him. We are strengthened from our inner man. That's where our actual strength comes from. Even in the natural, it comes from the inner man. When you eat, it strengthens your body. You know, it's the same way with our spirit man. Not only do we draw our strength from the Lord as we walk in love, setting our love upon Him, but as we love God, we love one another. That's a flow that God, that when you walk in love, it's a flow that's always there. It's always there. As we love one another, we draw strength from one another. So not only are you drawing strength from the Father as you set your love upon Him, but the more you set your love upon Him, the more you're going to fall in love with those around you.
Amen.
Even those you don't like, even those that have hurt you. You'll wind up actually loving them. If you find that you are not doing that, then your connection with God is not what you think it is. Sometimes we can think we're connected with God. We can think we are because we're doing religious things when we're actually not. We're doing those religious things in our own ability. We're doing them because they're taught to us, because they're part of our religious doctrine of our church or whatever we're doing. When we're practicing things, which that's good too, but it should lead you to a connection with the Father that grows stronger and stronger to where you're not doing it in your own strength. It's not because I'm practicing this. It's because I love my Father.
Amen.
I love His Word, and I'm doing this out of love for my Father and love for you.
Yes.
But if you find that you're struggling with people, you're struggling with circumstances and situations, check up on your actual love with the Father. Because when you're actually connected with the Father's heart, that connection starts bringing you rest in your own life. Wisdom starts coming. You see things through the eyes of the Word and through His eyes more than you do through the circumstances that are around you. We have to do this. It's a progressive thing. Just like walking in certain sins or walking in our carnal nature or our feelings and emotions gets stronger and stronger over time, it builds. Our walking with God gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Amen.
And the one we walk with God, the others kind of fall by the wayside and eventually have no influence on us. They'll try. But in order for them to have influence, I've got to connect with them. Just waving something out there for me to connect to that I used to doesn't mean I have to.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I've sinned because I see it waving. It's what I do with the waving. It's when I connect with it that causes that to grow stronger and my relationship weaker. And every one of us right then saw something in our own spirit, man, where we struggle a little bit with something, whatever it is. I did. Mm-hmm. Something that I have to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I am dealing with it. But I deal with it moment by moment, step by step, time by time. And every time I do that, I get stronger. Because there's a flow from the Father's heart to mine. God and His Word are one. It's what the Word teaches. John 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's one. Where you see the Word, you see God. God is love, the Word is love. When I focus my life on the Word, filtering those circumstances through His Word, then love flows. Because I'm focusing on the Word through His eyes. Because of my connection with Him. I'm connecting with this Word, believing it, because He said it, my Father said it. It's His love message to me. And that's going to have to be my focus. It takes time to train ourselves to do that. If we've been a person that just flies off the handle all the time, or we're constantly focusing on circumstances around us, trying to deal with them all the time, then we're going to have a harder time. Because we're going to have to change that. And somehow we're going to have to start making decisions when those opportunities come up that I don't take the opportunity.
Amen.
And it may take some time. You may slip right and left for a while. But every time you decide, I am going to do the loving thing, I do that because I want to do it, and I want this relationship with my Father. No matter how big the problem is or how big the emotions are, they will bow to the Word.
Amen.
They will bow to the Word. They have to. I am not in this world alone. God saw to that. He put His Spirit within me, and I'm stronger than I think I am. If I'm relying on my own ability, my own giant intellect to solve this issue, I'm going to fail. That's the weakest part of me, is my giant intellect. It really is. You get real, really. But my spirit man is only as strong as my connection with God. But if I make that connection strong and I focus on that, then I'm getting stronger. My emotions are falling into the proper place. They're not wrong. They're just being used wrong by me. They have a certain place where they're meant to function. And as I walk in love and focus on that, then those emotions are getting in their proper place to where they can do what they're meant to do. And that's another subject. So not only do we draw our strength from the Lord as we walk in love, setting our love upon Him, but as we love God, we love one another. As we love one another, we draw strength from one another. Our love of God will automatically connect with other people. I will see them differently. That's why the 1 Corinthians 13, 4-8 in the Amplified Classic says, you think the best of every person and you take no account of a suffered wrong. Now that seems impossible to us, but it's not. Because the lover lives in us. And again, it's a process. I have to keep making those decisions. I'm going to think the best of that person no matter what they do. I'm going to think the best of them. Well, you're lying. No, I'm not. He doesn't know why he's doing that. He thinks he does. And I think I know why he's doing it. But not really. If he knew the Jesus that I do, he wouldn't be doing that. So I'm looking at him through the eyes of Jesus. He does not know what he's doing. And I refuse to take an offense here, because that offense now, which is carnal, leads to death. It will affect my love walk.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pick up that offense. That's what you have to do. We have to do that. And when we do take the offense, and the Holy Spirit will continue, if I'm dedicated to this, the Holy Spirit will continually remind me. He'll continue to tell me, you need to deal with this. And you go to the Father. 1 John 1:9, you confess that as a sin, you repent of it, and you start doing the loving thing. Whatever He leads you to do. That will make you stronger the next time. It's like putting your finger in an outlet. It's not wise. But you remember that the next time. You're not going to do it the next time if you're smart. If you do, you're dumb as a post. Now, an accident is one thing, but on purpose is another. Mm. When I was dating a girl early, she had a little brother. And we went to Christmas, I believe it was Christmas or Easter, to her brother's house. And he had a mean little boy. I mean, he was mean. He's probably 7, maybe. Whatever you told him to do, he would always do the opposite. He was defiant that way. And they had this old wood-burning stove in there. And the dad simply said, don't touch that, it's hot. So he put his hand, both hands on that stove. Well, you know what happened? Mm-hmm. He got badly injured. Because he refused to do what he was told. That's not wise. Don't stick your finger in the outlet. Don't put your hands on the stove. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. I got a better way. I got a better way. I got a better way. What he's trying to take away from you, I can give you much more than that.
Amen.
And I can bless him too, if you don't hold him in that bondage. So a lot of times we don't realize it. We ask God to change them, but we're actually holding them in it with our anger, our carnality, our trying to get even. We hold them in that to a degree. Now, they make their own choices, but we're most certainly cannot be used by God to free them, because we're agreeing with that. We're acknowledging the fact of their behavior. We're actually helping the enemy keep him there, when I can help set him free if I will walk in love towards the person. This is so important to us. We lose so many battles in our spiritual life and our natural life because we don't know these things, and if we do, we'll put our hands on the stove anyways because we're told not to. Well, as we love God and we set our love upon Him, we automatically set our love upon others. And because we're doing that, we're drawing strength from the others as well. There's a flow between us. Ephesians 4:16 we used last time, but it says that. For the Amplified Classic again. For because of Him, or Jesus, the whole body. Now, does that leave any part of the church out? It doesn't.
No.
The whole body, the church. Now, earlier in Ephesians, he identifies the church as the body singular of Christ. He didn't say, and the bodies of Christ. He said, and the body of Christ, singular. We're His body in the earth, singular. Joined together, but singular.
Right.
That they may be one that the world may know. He sees us as one. And that's what Paul, again, is talking about here. For because of Him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, they're one but various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and the ligaments with which it is supplied. That is so important to us. The joints and the ligaments, the things that connect the body, are supplied to the body.
Hallelujah.
We're supplied as the church. We're separate for various purposes and reasons because we have other responsibilities that others don't have. We draw on the strength and the knowledge and the wisdom that the others have, but and to a degree we do those things, but certain parts of the body have specific responsibilities. And God expects us to draw knowledge, wisdom, and strength from one another. He expects us to do that. The fivefold ministry is not singular. It's fivefold, but singular. Every person that is a part of that fivefold ministry, I'm a teacher. Pastor is a pastor teacher. There's a difference between the two. There's apostles, there's prophets, there's evangelists. They can function in their own area, and they need to, but they draw strength from one another. They are actually one.
Yes.
Each one with a specific part, but they form a whole, which is to build up the body that the body goes. That's what we're supposed to do. And it's the same way with the church as a whole. We're to draw strength from one another, not be against one another. We should never have separation or division in our hearts of any kind, way, shape, or form. We accept from sin. That's the only separation we're to have in our life. So we draw strength. It builds itself up in love, it says. These things that join us together is provided by God. His word joins us. His love joins us. As far as God is concerned, the church is one. There's just one church. We're one. And He provides that. He provides the strength. He provides the word. He provides the love. And that love walk we have is to join us, not separate us.
Amen.
And if we don't have the heart of joining, and we see ourselves separate from the body in some way, we're wrong. It's just that simple. And that's carnal, not spiritual. And it will weaken, hinder, or completely abort our walk with God and our prayer life, which we don't want that. If we want that to be strong and strengthened, we cannot have division. I can't do anything about anybody else, but I can't have it in me. So you have to work with that. Each of us do individually. And that's where we draw strength from one another. So it says because of him, the whole body of the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments, with which it is supplied, when each part, with power adapted to its need, is working properly in all its functions, then grows to full maturity, building itself up in love.
Amen.
That's the full maturity when we're one. Now, I might not look like one. We may have differences. But in my heart, we're one.
Amen.
There's only one body. And as far as God is concerned, we're one. And that's always been God's heart. Also, I'm going to go ahead and mention it. I already did, but I'm going to mention it again. Also note that the Word says in Ephesians 6:10 that God supplies our strength through His boundless might. He supplies it.
Amen.
In Ephesians 4:16, it says, closely joined and firmly knit together by joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. He supplies the joints and the ligaments. He supplies the unity. He supplies the strength. I connect with it. That's my job. The joints and ligaments are already there. The love is already there. The power is already there. He doesn't have to ramp up the generator more. It's already there. Everything we need, God has supplied. I have to connect.
Yes.
That's my job. When I connect, it flows. When I don't connect or partially connect, if you have a weak signal on something, sometimes it's because it's only partially connected. It can't flow, the flow can't flow. Partially connected or a clogged water line, it's not going to flow properly. It's got a leak at the other end, or it's partially clogged up. But when it's connected, then the power's there and it flows. The lack of power is on our side, not on God's side. So I need to remember that. It's not God that's holding back, we are. Or we're preventing Him. You can't prevent God. Yes, I can. Because He's the loving one. He will not force Himself on anyone.
Amen.
And He made it that way by choice. He gave us choice so that we would choose. Love chooses to love. It's not made to love. So He made us that way as love beings. He made it so we have to choose. So we're involved in everything He does. If I don't choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and Him, cooperate with the Word, it doesn't work. But it's not God's fault it didn't work. It's always man's fault that it didn't work. There's something wrong somewhere. And you can always start with your love walk first. Before we can draw our strength from Him, we must dwell in Him. Now that's a common sense. There has to be a connection. We must choose to dwell in Him. He has already made His choice. But for Him to dwell in us, we must choose to dwell in Him. Now we're going to John 15, and he talks about that. Many people don't connect this. They're still in the vine and the branches, but that's what he's talking about. The whole thing from John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is all love. He's teaching love. He's teaching how to walk in love. That's what he's doing, the whole thing. So, pardon me, here in John 15, 4, Amplified Classic, notice how it's written, how it's worded. Dwell. Now that means to live here. It's permanent. Dwell in me. And I will dwell in you. Notice where the choice is. Live in me. And I will live in you. It's not, God's not saying, okay, you get in the right place, maybe I'll think about it. It's not what He said. He's saying, I've already made up my mind. I've already put everything in place. If you live in me, then I can live in you as I want to. I will live in you if you live in me. See, there's a choice here. That's covenant talk.
Amen.
It's covenant. But it's much deeper than just covenant. This is a personal relationship. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine. Again, if you break a branch halfway off, it has a certain amount of flow there yet. But not much. It's not vitally united. Because you broke it partially off, or wind, or whatever. Eventually it will die, because it cannot get enough nourishment from the vine. So that's our problem. When we partially connect, were okay in some areas for a while, but eventually we wither too. That's what Jesus is saying. Apart from me, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now, is that an absolute? That's an absolute. Jesus said that. And everything in our lives proved that. It proves it. And that's what Paul was talking about. Be strong in the Lord. Be united to him. Draw your strength from him. That's what Jesus is talking about, drawing strength from him. And the only way I can do that is to be united. I have to be vitally united. He is the vine, or he's the power source. He's the nourishment. He's the stability. He's everything. He's everything. But if I'm the branch and I'm not united to him, like a broken branch, I die. I can do nothing. That branch is partially broken off, even if it gets a fruit on it. The weight of the fruit will break it off the rest of the way. So even, and it's the same way with us in our walk every day. If I'm going to be strong and bearing fruit, I need to be vitally united. My connection with God, my love walk with him is vital. It's above everything else that's important in our life. If that's not there, it affects my relationships, it affects every area of my life. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Just a little further down, John 15:7. If, and here again he goes to choice, doesn't he? If, that's what that word means, if. Okay, I'm already ready to do this. I'm going to do what I said. If you connect. If you do what you're supposed to do. If you live in me. Abide vitally united to me. And my words, now here's another part of it. And my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Why? Because there's a vital united. There's a vital union here. I'm walking in love with my Father. And that's causing me to walk in love with others. Because I'm vitally united here, whatever I ask him is going to be according to his will. It's not going to be because I'm greedy, because I'm self-centered, because I'm thinking only of myself. Probably I'm going to think more of that other person than I am myself because I'm walking in love with the Father. So what I ask will be in line with his will. So he's going to carry it out. But notice it has to be asked. In other words, I have to draw it. That's what you do when you get water out of a well. You're asking. You are drawing. You're making a demand on it. And that's what that word ask means, to make a demand. Make a demand on the covenant. Make a demand on the covenant. Make a demand on my word. Make a demand on it. When I take a hold of the word and I speak it and declare it, I'm making a demand on the covenant. A demand on my love walk. A demand on what the Father said. You can't demand from God. Yes, you can. He expects you to. He says it over and over again. Speak to the mountain. What do you speak? You speak his word. That's what you speak. Over and over again, you see God putting man in a place. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it'll be open. Come unto me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. So over and over again, we see all the way through Scripture where God is putting us in a position where we can ask or make a demand, and we're held accountable for doing it.
Amen.
That's the biggest and strongest part of our prayer life, is declaring, asking. So I'm taking his word. I'm declaring what he said. I'm not doing it arrogantly. I'm doing it because he said to do that. And then those angels grab it and carry it to pass.
Amen.
Bring it to pass. So it shall be done for you. I'm not doing it. I'm doing the word part. I'm doing the abiding part. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the declaring part. God is doing the carrying out. And that's what he wants to do.
Yes.
John 17:17. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth.
Amen.
If there is a truth anywhere, it's God's word. Well, the doctor said. I don't care what the doctor said. The word says. Now, I'm going to have to make a choice here. The doctor's probably not lying to me. He's probably using his instruments and telling me exactly what he sees. But that's not the total truth. The truth is, I can change that.
Yes.
The word will change that. It's a higher law. Yeah, his law, if I don't do anything, that law is right. But I'm going to exercise a higher law, which changes the lower law.
Yes.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. If I don't do that, then he's perfectly right. And that will happen. But if I don't want that to happen, then I can go to the truth.
Amen.
The word. It's always the truth, no matter what the circumstances are. And we said earlier, God and his word are one. The word is love. God is love. The truth is love. It's all love-based. That's why faith works by love, because it can't work with anything else.
Amen.
It can't connect. John 15:9. I love this one. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Now, he said abide in me. He said abide in my word. Love. Word abide in you. And now he's saying abide in my love. Again, it's abide. Live there. Live there. They're not separated things. We see them as separated things, and they are to a degree. They perform different functions. But they're all love.
Amen.
They're all love-based because God is love. I have loved you just, or in the same way that the Father has loved me. Think about that statement. That is an awesome statement. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. When I abide in him and he abides in me, I'm continuing in God. It's the same love. He's loving me just like he loves the Father. Continue in my love, in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, which is the word, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. Now our subject again is building strength to walk in love. There's our key. That's the key right there. If I abide in his love with Jesus, then I'm automatically keeping his commandments because I want to. Not because I have to. I do have to. But that's not why I do it. I do it because I love the Father and I love you. I love his word. God and his word are one. If I cannot love his word and not love God. I cannot love God and not love his word. They're one. I cannot walk with God and love God without walking in his word, without doing what his word says. So that's what it's talking about. If I will do that, if I will keep his commandments, if I'll continue to obey his instructions, it's not that hard. It's hard on our carnal nature, but it's not hard when we actually set our love upon him. You will abide in my love and live on in it. What a commandment. What a statement. Just as I have obeyed my Father's commandment and live on in his love. Got just a couple of minutes left here. 1 John 4:17. Amplified again.
What is it?
1 John 4:17. We ought to have it memorized by
yeah.
now. We're talking about union and drawing our strength from him. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face Him, because as He is, so are we in this world. There's no division between us. We're walking in love. We're walking with the Father. So when it's time for us to walk in love with the Father and time to walk in love with each other, we're doing it. So we're able to face Him, because as He is, so are we in this world. I love that. I love that. I just love that. In this union and communion that we've been talking about, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. Love can be brought to perfection as we walk this love walk in our moment-by-moment life. It can be brought to perfection in us. We have to make the decisions. He's already provided the power, the authority, and the ability. I have to make the decisions. My carnal nature will not like it. Eventually, it will bow the knee to it.
Yeah.
Because I am walking in love.
Amen.
My spirit man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. I may or may not use this one next time, but we're going to go ahead and read Jude 1, 20. And then I'll have to quit.
Oh.
Jude is almost invisible in there. It's way in the back.
Yeah.
It's only got one chapter. But it's a powerful chapter. Jude 1, 20, Amplified Classic. But you, who?
You.
Me. But you, beloved, build yourselves. Now who's building here?
We are.
Build yourselves up founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher. See, it's progressive. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto eternal life. So wait. Wait. It doesn't mean that it's not there. It means I'm at peace here. I'm waiting for it, expecting it. The word wait a lot of times means expectation. I'm expecting it. I'm not doubting it. I'm connecting to it. I know His love is for me, not against me. And I'm connecting. I'm waiting for the results. I'm waiting for the Savior to come. I'm waiting for this to manifest. I'm building myself up in my faith. That's what faith is. It's an assurance or an expectation. It's a power. I'm setting my love upon God. I'm receiving it because I believe it. I'm waiting on it. It's not a maybe it will happen, or if I wait long enough. No, I'm waiting on Him. There's two kinds of waiting. One is serving, like a waitress. One is I'm being patient here. I know it's going to happen. I know it's in progress. It's in process. Everything with God and everything in the Word is a process. It's not instant. It is instantaneous. But the manifestation is not always instantaneous. It takes time sometimes for it to manifest, even though it's already mine. Love believes the fact. Love waits for the results to manifest, even though it's mine. I have to quit there. Father, we thank You for this time together in the Word. We thank You for teaching us these things. Lord, this is meat, and we thank You for this meat. We thank You for the nourishment that it brings to us. We thank You for our health, our healing, our deliverance, all the good things that Your love has provided for us. We receive it, Father, because Your Word is absolute truth. And we thank You for it. Thank You for the services that lie ahead. Lord, we're so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.